Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, everyone, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
And over there, we've got Andrew running those sound effects.
Wow, you're really good at that. You sound exactly like Howard Dean.
Well, you know, I hung out with people for a few months who campaigned with him, so I learned
it
the
shows.
Ropes. Yeah, I know some people who
like Howard. Do you know what else,
Alon? What?
This is KFNX.
Thank you for brightening my evening, Andrew. I appreciate it.
I was wondering
if you could
station
turn the,
we were
the
on.
Temperature up in here, I would love you even more. We're currently doing the show from an icebox here at the KFNX studios in
yes.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Did you ever see that James Bond movie where like the castle is made out of ice?
Yes.
It's kind of like that.
Downtown Phoenix. Yeah. It's 9 degrees.
All right. So getting back to gaming, here on the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, it so happens that we talk about video games. So
once in a while.
Yeah. Ara, my co-host with the most over there. He is, in fact, an actual game designer for an actual game company.
It's
one
true.
That you might actually buy games from.
I don't just play one on
yeah,
TV.
Works at Rainbow Studios. For the first time in months, was actually able to tell me the game he's working on. I don't know if we can say it on the air, but I'm excited that he was able to tell me, so that's all I need to know. That was exciting. And then, anyway, so we talked last week. Was it last week or was it Saturday? It was recently.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's all a blur.
Friday,
right?
I think. Yeah. I don't know. A few days ago, we were talking, and I'm talking to him about his job and what he does and whatnot.
Are you talking about the heated discussion we were having?
I don't know if it was heated, but we sort of basically
at 3
like
3 a.m.
It was. Yeah, it was early in the morning. I was taking Ara back to his car after a lovely evening walking on the beach, and we started talking about what was it like? Generalized physics engines, basing a game off of one.
Yes.
Generalized physics engine versus
that's
like,
what I was calling
individual
it.
Yeah, which was a little bit confusing for me for a while.
Well, I like to confuse people, you know.
So basically we were arguing sort of the validity of basing a game's physics on off a single generalized
system.
Physics engine.
Yeah, yeah, I mean basically, you know, it was like I mean, you know, high level, right, what we're talking about was basically like, okay, you know, are physics engines good or bad? Right? And I was saying...
That's what
that,
I was thinking, but it seems you were more thinking engines for the whole thing versus physics algorithms per object in a game.
Right, and the reason why I made that distinction is because, I mean, you could... If you really think about it, I mean, any kind of mechanic in a game, you could call that a physics system, right? I mean, it has its rules about how it behaves.
Yes.
Right? So, if you called that, you know, like... How Mario jumps in Super Mario Brothers. Okay, we know that it's not a physics simulation, but it has its own rules, and so it would be fair to call it its own physics system.
I agree. Although generally not what we mean when we say that game has physics.
Right. But, you know, another thing that the game does is that, you know, the rules that determine, for example, how high you jump and the mechanics of jumping are completely different from, you know, how you move around from left to right.
Yes.
And in fact, you know, you don't really interact with the ground. You know, there's not some kind of friction computation going on and all that other stuff.
It's so individualized. Like, think about Super Mario 64, where if he's jumping when he's on the ground, it's different than if he's jumping from out of a tree.
Right, right. Basically, every situation has its own model.
Yes.
For interaction.
They are context-sensitive.
Right.
Applications.
And you know, the thing that's really popular these days... at least, you know, in terms of, you know, like, I guess what people like to talk about conceptually, right, is, you know, oh, it's got physics, and oh, physics is so cool, and, you know, look how realistic this
looks. I've had that discussion many times on the show.
You know, and all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, my point is basically, you know, physics is not all it's cracked up to be, but specifically this concept of taking a generalized system and applying it wholesale to all of the game's mechanics.
See, now, I argue that this is great because I love how it opens the door for...
But you're wrong, I mean, because it doesn't open any doors. It's just a mess.
No, it does. It allows you... Like, you were complaining that people discover ways to do things that the developers and the designers didn't intend. And I argue that that's a great thing. Now, I think we need to agree that on a case-by-case basis, this can be good or bad.
Sure. Actually, I mean, if we could step back a bit and go to, you know, one of the main disagreements, right, that we had was that, you know, my point is that, you know, every single situation in the game, every single mechanic calls for its own kind of, like, rule set, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, in order to apply, and this is one of the points that we were talking about, so Alan's probably going to fall asleep because he knows exactly what I'm going to say, but, you know, to all you guys out there, you know, basically, you know, let's talk about the example again I brought up with the jumping in Super Mario Brothers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's jumping and there's running. These are two mechanics. If you had a generalized physics system that kind of would define how both of those behaved in the same terms, what would happen is that, you know, the jumping would not be the same way as it is, right? In the game, you know, they're completely different, right? So the jumping would be like, okay, it would be consistent with this kind of abstract rule set, and so would the running, but they both wouldn't necessarily work together very well. And the reason for that is because, you know, there's no reason for them to adhere to a physically consistent set of rules. They only need to kind of map well to, you know, what the player is expecting.
But I think people who might argue my side would wonder, okay, perhaps they don't need to, but what's the problem with them actually doing that? Because it would provide a more consistent world to the user where I expect things to work a certain way, right? Because I live in a physical world.
Physically speaking, yes. But, I mean, strictly speaking, I don't think that's true at all. For example, if you watch animation in movies, there's a certain consistency in style about how characters behave. But there isn't... They're not physically bound to, you know, a consistent set of rules.
Well, of course, in a video game, it's not necessity. I mean, they don't require that everything they do be bound by this one logical model. But if they are, then all the better.
No. In fact, just the opposite. If they are, it's severely limiting.
But see, you're speaking from the point of view of the designer making it all work. Assuming they can get it all to work, then it's great for the user's point of view.
Right, but my point is that you can't get both things to work if, and this is what I was trying to explain to you before, you can't get both things to work unless, if they're basically deriving all the rules from the same system. For example, you know, let me see if I can just think of like this perfect example in my head, then I think that you'll see the light.
What I want you to do is think about that for a few minutes, and I'm going to use the next few minutes that we have before the break to discuss what's coming up. So you get your thoughts together.
Go for it.
All right.
Because I'm about to blow your mind.
Yes, blow my mind. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about more in the show. When we get back from the break, first of all, we're going to discuss what we discussed last week, right? We talked about customized soundtracks, and we got a lot of response to that. And so based on your emails, we're going to discuss that a little bit more. And we usually do this. We make some outlandish comments in one show.
People get pissed off.
Then we defend ourselves in the next show. It's becoming a common theme here. But actually, this is an example when Ara and I were in relative agreement, right? And we got some emails about this, some reasonable ones and some not so reasonable. And so I want to cover that a little bit more, discuss what we don't like so much about customized soundtracks. And Ara has something that he wants to go off that's sort of like an extrapolation of that point, talking about general choice in games and why choice isn't necessarily always a great thing.
Yes, the great John Carmack, who said that designing games is more about limitation than freedom.
Isn't he the one who went on to make the great and wonderful Daikatana, or am I mixing people?
No, that's Romero.
That's Romero, yeah. Okay. John's
bite,
and John.
Bite your tongue.
I always, yeah. All right, well, forget that. So anyway, we're going to talk about the customized soundtracks and the response we got to that. I also want to ask you folks, in a couple weeks, the Nintendo Wii comes out. I already told you last week about how I really don't care about the PS3, although I just found out that I have a friend who's going to be waiting 36 hours to get one and just to sell. So whatever, I will be working.
You should figure out an hourly rate of profit for him.
I don't quite understand it, but whatever. If he wants to do that, that's cool. I do, however, want to play the Wii. And so I'm going to be getting the Wii. And I'm curious, assuming you have to choose three games on launch day, which three games would you go for? And so if you want to give us a call, it seems we don't get a lot of calls. Now that we have the show late at night, I mean, we're a little bit earlier now. It's 9 p.m. California time now. Yeah. So,
you guys, stop playing Final Fantasy XII. You know, come on, give us a call. Talk to us, you know.
Yeah, the number is 866-536-1100. If you are so inclined, give us a call. Of course, you can email us as well. Lots of people are listening to the podcast, not listening live. So you're welcome to email. But I want to hear your response. Opening day, what are you getting for the Wii? Obviously, the system, which comes with Wii Sports, right? How many extra controllers are you going to get and why? Right? Are you going to get four player or four controllers for four people? Are you going to get the nunchuck with all of them? Also, what games are you getting? And after the break, R and I will give our choices for the three games you should definitely get. So anyway, I want to talk about that. Then there's so much other stuff. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of this, but for like the last 3 weeks, I've wanted to talk about microtransactions, which is really returning to something I've discussed over a year ago, microtransactions and how everything is turning out the way I thought it would, which is also something I love to do on the show. Talk about how I was right. Do it all the time.
You like to pat yourself.
Exactly. And I put something on my blog this week about a friend of mine emailed me regarding the Wii, and I had a big discussion back with him about strength calibration, individual calibration per person in games. And anyway, I don't think it's something people have touched on, so
that
hopefully we'll get to that. It is. And so we're going to get back to your thoughts on physics and a whole bunch of other stuff right after this break.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
My name is Alon.
And we've got Andrew back there manning the sound machine.
The sound machine, the board.
The board with the sound effects.
I think they refer to it as a board operator.
The board operator?
Yes.
With all those sound effects?
Yeah, we refer to him as the Phenom producer. Yeah, I'm actually the producer, but whatever.
All right. Now before we really get into it, Alon, I have something to say about Disgaea 2.
This is a game I know that you have and love.
I've spoken about this a couple times on the show before. And,
never in detail, I might point out.
And I've got it right here in my hands, and all I have to say is just please, this thing is evil. Please take it from me.
Are you asking me to take it so that I can play it, or
please
to take
just,
it so that you won't
just,
play it?
Just take it out of my life. Just no good can come of this.
The irony here is that the back of the box, the boldest, most visible word on the back of the box is the word guilty. Have you noticed that?
There's. It's just, it's destroying my life. I can't take it anymore.
Well, I have a new beer glass at home that's just waiting for a coaster, so I don't mind taking off your hands.
No. Nobody must play it. It must be destroyed.
Not to worry.
It must be disposed of.
All right. And why do you say that?
You don't talk about things like this.
Okay. And that to which we don't speak. So I want you to tell me more about physics. But before you do, I'm going to remind everybody that Ara is informed about all this stuff because he works at Rainbow Studios, a game company here in town. And you might be able to do that, too, if you visited UAT.edu and actually went to the University of Advancing Technology. That's what they do
just
there.
Just like you did.
Just like I
but
did.
But you don't work at Rainbow Studios.
No, I work here at a radio station doing a show sometimes when they don't kick me out off the air. Last week, how many times did you bleep us, Andrew? No? 2, 3, 4? I don't actually review the show. I just make sure that something comes off the CD and then...
I think that's a bleep.
It must be recorded. All right, so anyway, I want you to finish up your comments about this, and then we're going to go to a caller who has something to say about the PS3.
All right, so I've thought long and hard about this. I have the perfect example here. You know, remember Super Mario 3, where you had... you know, you're walking along, right? And sometimes there's inclines that you walk up and down.
I'm usually running, but I see what you're saying.
Right. Now, there's this game coming out on the Xbox 360 Live Arcade called Robo Blitz. And one of the selling points of this game is that this game has... Every single thing in this game is completely physics-driven. Right? which I hate. And the interesting thing is, okay, you know what? They have like these little inclines and stuff in the game that you roll over. Like one of your characters is like this robot with like a giant ball bearing on it, right? And when you're rolling across level surfaces, it's fine, right? But there's like this little bump in some parts where it's basically like, you know, basically the 3D analog of, you know, the Super Mario 3 situation I was explaining to you. And, you know, here's the thing, because your character in that game is subject to this generalized world of physics, right? The physical attributes of, you know, you rolling on this hill are actually just completely don't make sense at all for gameplay. You know, there's a little bump that you'll come across, and this tiny bump is just incredibly disruptive to your movement. You know, for example, if you're not going fast enough, you don't have enough velocity to go over the bump. So if you're just rolling around, like, you know, in place a little bit and you come across the bump, what do you have to do? You can't climb it. What do you have to do? You have to back up. Oh, now I have to gain enough speed and go up there. Now, a game like Super Mario Bros. 3 doesn't have this problem because, basically, you know, they have their own rules for when you're on an incline. They
don't
follow
this
generalized
system. I don't
understand
why that's a problem, though.
It's a problem because you're using the same model to define the behavior of, you know, this.
Yeah, but what makes you think they didn't want that? Part of the game.
Because it sucks. Because it sucks.
The hook for this game is quite obviously the fact that it's all physics driven.
Right, because it's stupid for gameplay, that's why. Because the fact that there's a little bump on the floor that you have to back up and then run into in order to traverse when it's not part of a puzzle or anything.
One of the key rules in game design is not, it is to not educate the user to a certain rule or set of rules and then break that rule later.
No, see, the fallacy that you're making is that you think that just because somebody applies different rule sets to different situations that they necessarily must be inconsistent. And what I'm saying is that even though it sounds counterintuitive, it's actually completely the reverse. Because this, now you haven't actually played this part of RoboBlitz, so you'll just have to take my word for it. It's incredibly counterintuitive. It doesn't make any sense.
I disagree. If the whole game is physics-based, then if something suddenly reacted differently than I would expect...
Well, see, here's the thing. See, you're assuming that because there's, you know, this one set of rules that makes everything behave consistently, then the player will naturally see things, right, that they would only expect.
Yeah, you know what? When I see a ramp, it is harder to walk up it than it is to just walk
right,
straight.
Right, but the parameter of the degree to which how hard the ramp is to walk up, for example, okay, that's something that has to be tuned on an individual basis for it to really work. It's not something that you can just slap on a general physics algorithm and just say,
I'm sure
okay,
gravity
it's
has a variable in the game somewhere, and they can tweak it.
Yes, but here's the thing, right? You want different things to behave differently in the game because they are different.
Yeah, and that's why each thing has a different set of features or
right,
characteristics.
Right, which was the other
friction
point.
Levels and stuff like that.
Which was the other point that I was getting to. And the other problem of having a generalized physics system is that basically, you know, the methods that you have to tweak parameters now are a lot further removed from the direct advantage that you'd have if you were kind of having a different specialized model, a simple model that just like very compactly describes how each thing works instead of having to now define, you know, the physical properties of every single thing in your world.
I disagree with you, and I will have to see this RoboBlitz game to get a better understanding of what you're saying, because I bet I will love it.
You won't love it, trust me.
I will. But yeah. You know what? We'll find out when I actually get to play it. We got to move on here.
And when you hate it.
I promised we were going to take this caller, and judging on our past ability to take callers, I'm wondering if this will be successful, Andrew. What do you think? Before we take the call, you want to give me the 50-50 split here? What's the over-under on our, the ability to take this call you think are good? All right, let's try to talk to Mike, who wants to talk about the PS3. Mike, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say...
Thank you. That's fantastic.
That doesn't sound like Mike.
That was...
For some reason...
That was our first caller in 2 weeks now. We have, yeah, all right, let's move on. Andrew had that one waiting for me. All right, it's like the guy who taps you on the shoulder, but he's really on the other side of you. I hate to say this,
but I really think that you're discounting too much, and that you just like you don't have an understanding of the implications here.
Of physics?
Basically.
I love when stuff acts real.
What I'm saying is that what looks real to you is not necessarily mean that it's actually real. The whole thing about presenting something...
Of course, all it has to do is fool me, but it better be consistent. And if they've got one set of rules...
You're assuming... Okay, here's the thing. Like, when I was working on the Red Star, for example...
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. The music's on, so maybe we should talk about it when we get
Yeah, there. Maybe we shouldn't. We got half a show left, everybody. If you do want to call in, 866-536-1100.
I won't forget.
Still waiting to hear your Wii launch decision, and we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break as well. Ari and I will give our opinions.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
We are back once again. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
My name is Ara.
That's Ara. Hard to hear me. I just get close to the mic.
What's going on here?
Close to the mic, dude.
Hey, I'm like literally kissing this thing. There we go. That's better. What's going on over there?
Angie's a wizard over there. All right, everybody. Lots more to talk about. I promised I'm going to talk about the Wii and my launch expectations. So I'm going to wait in the freezing cold of an indoor Walmart Saturday.
Speaking of waiting... But I was getting to an awesome point when the music so rudely interrupted me.
If I remember correctly, you forgot your point and we can move on.
No, now I remembered.
Oh, okay.
It's much to your chagrin, I'm sure.
Go ahead.
All right, look, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this. And
I value that knowledge. Go ahead.
All right. There's, you know, what feels consistent to somebody in the game.
You are so good looking.
This thing is going down the tubes, man. What feels consistent is not necessarily... It's all about perception, right?
I agree with that.
The Romans, when they built their columns, you know, they didn't build them in perfect proportions because people's perceptions were different from the actual reality. There's, you know, a lot of people don't know about this example, but, you know, there's a game called Go that's played on a board that looks square, right? It's actually not square. It's rectangular. And it's longer in the dimension that basically that you look in, because they do that in order to compensate for the perspective from your view of the eye. So it looks square when you're looking at it, but it's actually not square. And my point is that, you know, there's so much that happens in between the interface that... And this is one of the things that I learned, that, you know, if you ever have an experience of actually, you know, tweaking and tuning variables for a video game, I think this would be a lot easier for me to explain this to you.
I've done that before.
But you'll find that, you know, things that end up making sense are usually not symmetrical or consistent mathematically under the hood. You know, there's...
And how come I've had so much fun with games that, you know, have the Havoc engine and stuff applied to it?
Well, I mean, that's fine, but, I mean, like, you don't know what the F they're doing behind the hood, first of all. And, I mean, if you're just talking about, like, oh, you know, I'm just throwing a few things out here and then it's cool to watch them fly around, I mean, okay, fine. I'm not talking about that, though.
Well, I am.
Build
a game
fine.
Out of something that has this unified physics engine.
No, I mean, like, there's nothing that I've said that, you know, disqualifies, unless you have another example
for
me.
Yes, it does, because you're talking about disconnecting these things, and I'm talking about applying a single physics engine. Each object will have its own set of variables and characteristics, friction levels and weight and all sorts of things that can affect it.
Right, but the bottom line is that you're losing the ability to tune things independently, and if you still want to tune them independently because you need to for whatever kind of goal that you have as a designer, then if you have, you know, this whole physics system, it's basically in your way. Okay?
Yeah. Well, again, I think case by case is how you need to take these things. I enjoy stuff like that for the most part. I mean, it certainly depends.
Yeah, but
on the game.
I mean, you're
Mario
being,
would be weird.
You're being way too general about this. Come on.
I'm willing to accept that it could be good, whereas you're saying it's not good. So I promised I was going to talk about the Wii, so I have to get this out of my system.
All right,
and we'll move on.
All right, I'm going to go get my brick.
All right, because this is the most, you know, exciting moment in gaming history. It happens for every 4 or 5 years, right? We're going to have two large systems released within literally days of each other, right? It happened with the GameCube and the Xbox back in the day, and it's happening again. Back then, nobody really cared about the Xbox. This time, people actually care about each system, sort of. And the hype for the PS3 is getting a little bit larger. That's something I wanted to talk about, too. I'm pissed off that Sony is running advertisements for the PS3 right now, because there's no need. Anyway, I'm looking at this list on Kotaku about all the different games that are being released opening day for the Wii, or the previous week, right? But on day one that you can get your Wii, you could be playing all these different games. And I'm trying to think, what three games would I want? Not that I'm limiting myself to three. I might go hog wild and buy every game I'm interested in. But I've heard good things about Rayman Raving Rabbids. I have no idea what it's about, but some preview somewhere said it was like the best game that they've seen for the launch, so that makes me interested alone. Kind of odd that I have no idea what it's about, and I'm willing to take it for what it's worth, but I'll look at some more previews before it comes out, see if it's actually worth it. Zelda, I think, standard. You were saying you couldn't find anything on this list that you would even
want.
Yeah,
I was looking at that thing, and like, I don't know, I mean, like, I heard Excite Truck's going to be pretty cool. I mean, I read about the mechanic.
Excite Truck is sort of fun, but it's no different. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's got a Wii controller or not.
Yeah.
But, I played a D3. It's fun.
But, I mean, I'm just, like, looking at the thing, and, yeah, I don't want to buy any of those games. I guess I'm not buying a Wii right away.
I can tell you what. Excite Truck, like, it's fun, but it's not $50 fun. It's, like, something... It's a $30 game, in my opinion. But they're charging $50. Anyway, Zelda is a gimme. Automatically, I'm pretty sure they're expecting a 1-to-1 sell ratio on Zelda. I'm upset that there's no Mario, but whatever.
Probably won't have a generalized physics engine.
I bet it doesn't. Trauma Center, I really want to get my hands on. Excellent things we hear about Trauma Center for the DS. Very excited about that game. Also, like I said, Raving Rabbids. So that's three, right? People are saying that Red Steel has been updated since E3. I need to see it for myself. I have a feeling it's going to be a fun effort, but fall short, and then the sequel will actually be a good game. But I'm willing to wait and find out if Red Steel's any good. The other one that I'm thinking that I normally wouldn't expect me to say this, but Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam, I think it's called. Yeah, Downhill Jam. I actually expect to be a lot of fun. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because I saw a video of it running last week. Like they pitted the PS3 version next to the Wii version. I don't know. I actually think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think they're going to do a good job, but I guess it's always been with Tony Hawk's. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but Tony Hawk was like good, bad, good, bad, good, bad with every iteration of the game.
Uh-huh. No, I didn't follow them that closely. I was just like, I played the first one, and I'm like, all right, this is cool, and then I kind of forgot.
I was into 3 and 4, mostly 3, but a friend of mine pointed out that really it's they make a really good one, and then they make one which isn't so good, and then they make a really good one, and then one that's not so good. And it's followed that like all the way through the first 6, 7, or 8 of them.
So what's the next one, good or not so good?
See, I've lost track at this point. But they're releasing two at a time, so either one could go. Right. Now, I left off Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz. I love Super Monkey Ball. Yeah, I'm a little bit bummed that this one's going to be $50 because suddenly it got popular. They figure they can charge $50 for it when it used to be a $30 game.
Actually, I'm really curious to ask you, did you play the first one and the second one?
Super Monkey Ball General?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have both of them.
Because I thought the first one was fantastic, like one of the top 20 games, in my opinion.
Yeah, second one was a little bit
second
contrived.
One was stupid.
Yeah, it was more mini games than games.
I mean, please enlighten me. Why does every stage in Super Monkey Ball 2 have a long platform 200 yards long from the start point to like when you get to something interesting? Why did they do that?
I don't know.
It makes no sense to me.
And the second one focused a lot more on like moving environments and gimmicks for the levels.
It was so gimmicky. And the thing that was even worse about it was that these puzzles were just so bone-crushingly hard that there was just absolutely – you had like absolutely no latitude of like making mistakes and recovering from them. Like you had to kind of just know exactly what to do right away. Otherwise, you know, you were just hosed.
Yeah. I think it was one of those situations where like – the people who really liked the game got really good at it, so they had to up the ante. Kind of like in Guitar Hero 2, how I was all bummed that...
Yeah, I don't think it was that at all, actually. I think they just had some kind of crazy designer, and he was like, yeah, you know what, I'm a cyborg, and I think that the level should be like this.
Well, what I was going to say is that Guitar Hero, everybody got really good at it because they had all this time with it, and now the second one comes out, and it's a lot harder. A lot of the songs are harder. I haven't even commented on the fact that Guitar Hero 2 is so incredibly awesome. Like, we've been playing this for the last few days, you and I, and it's really good. I've obviously gotten a lot more time with it.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, it's incrementally harder, right? I mean, there's easy songs still, and some of the hardest songs...
There's a lot more songs that are difficult.
Right, but there's a lot more songs, period. I mean, it's like, it's understandable, you know? I mean, like, this leap between the Monkey Ball games, like, it just, it makes no sense to me. Like,
well, the reason Monkey Ball, I'm not saying is one to go for, because I tried it at E3, and it was absolute junk. And there were a lot of complaints about the control not being good at E3 and being blundered because of the scenario, the situation, and the calibration and all that stuff. So maybe it'll be good. But that's the definite wait and see for me, because it sucked so hard at E3.
I wonder if it's an issue with the controller mapping.
I think it was an issue with the controller and lighting and the distance away and the height of the sensor bar and all that crap. But also, it had boss battles, which were ridiculously hard. You would touch the boss and you'd be thrown off the platform. Boss battles don't belong in Monkey Ball. But
agreed.
It's weird. Anyway, we have a caller, Richard from Tempe, so we're going to take him on and hear what his opinions are for the Wii launch. Richard.
Oh, I am so glad you are here.
You're on the air, buddy. Are you on the air?
Hello?
Richard.
Hey, Richard,
go ahead,
can
Richard.
Can you hear us?
Hello?
All right. Andrew, you're going to have to figure out how to fix those phones, because this is like the second time in a row.
Second? Try like
that
eight.
They can't hear us. All right. Why don't you pick up the phone and talk to him, and I will stay here and continue the show. All right. While Andrew's back there doing his job.
Maybe just like everyone who calls us is just like so stoned out of their minds.
I mean, I don't want to be a hard ass, but like, we got to get these phones working sometime. That's why they're there. So... Thank you, Richard, for taking the time to call in. Whether or not we can actually get the chance to talk to you is beyond me. Unless he's just listening to his radio and the delay thinks that we've talked to him like 7 seconds late. I don't know. So, launch lineup, I'm very excited. There's at least three games that I definitely want to play, and like three others that I want to play as well. So, we'll actually find out if it's good. I think the nunchuck controller like attachment comes with it too, and I've got someone here in the comments of Kotaku who's like, I have to buy the nunchuck edition, and it's like, no, you don't. Did you know it comes with Wii points, by the way?
Wii points.
Yeah, like they're like Xbox,
is that like
Live
Xbox
points.
Xbox Live points.
Yeah,
oh,
so you
great.
Can buy the virtual console games. It comes with 2,000, I think.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can get like two Nintendo 64 games, even though one's available, or you know. Turbo Graphics games or whatever, so that's cool.
I get to buy all my games over again. That's awesome.
Anyway, I've still got all the stuff that we haven't covered. We're going to come back after the break, and I think what we should cover is response to customized soundtracks. So that's what we will do when we come back.
Right on. Welcome back. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
My name's Alon.
And Andrew's back there making trouble again.
Trying to run the phones.
Now, we've got a phone call already. So, looks like Matt, west of the Rockies. Let's take that call.
Matt, you are on the air.
What's going on, Alon?
Not that much. Not enough, I'd say.
Hey,
how
what's
are
up,
you?
Matt?
I'm pretty good.
So what do you have to tell us tonight?
Well, you know, you're talking about the Wii. I figure I will call in, keep having my phone issues.
Yeah.
And it's like, as you said, Zelda's a total no-brainer as far as 3D primary titles.
Yep.
Despite your urges against, I'm really up on checking out Red Steel. I mean, it could be awful, it could be great, who knows, but I've bought plenty of terrible titles in the past that end up liking eventually.
Let me correct here. I didn't say that you shouldn't get it. I said, I'm going to hold off because of my skepticism. I think you should get it. That way you can tell me if I should. I want everyone else to buy it and tell me if it's any good.
I'll make sure to let you know.
All right. I've got enough faith in it that I would let other people buy it. I'm not going to tell you to go buy The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, though. Or
what about like, Cabela's Big Game Hunter?
Rapala Trophies or Open Season or some of the other crap that they're coming out with. But World Series of Poker, for instance, not a necessary Wii title.
Yeah.
Especially since it's not going to be online. What sort of foolishness is that?
What, you can't like gesture with the controller to other players?
No, it's not online. No games at launch are going to be online. Well, from what I understand. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
That's because their AI is that good.
All right. Matt, was there something else that you wanted to discuss?
Well, see, as far as the third title goes, I have no idea right there yet. Kind of a toss-up because there's so many that are like a third one that you'd want to get, but you're not 100% sure on kind of thing. Because like Elibit looks really cool. I'm interested in Trauma Center. A lot of the ones are interesting. Just can't really decide on a third one.
I got my money on Trauma Center, buddy, if you're looking for one.
Yeah, it's really kind of a toss between that and Elibit because I want to check out something that's new and different, you know?
Are you limiting yourself to three?
No, I'm just broke right now.
Oh, okay. So your wallet is limiting you to three.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's sensible. Well, thanks for chiming in. I appreciate that.
No problem.
We've also got Richard, who wants to give his opinion. We're going to try and get him on the air. Can you hear me, Rich?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Well done.
My heart is shriveling.
So, Rich, your opinion on the Wii launch?
I think the only game that looks fun at launch is the Rayman game. Just because that'd be fun to get together, a bunch of people and play the stupid mini games. But besides that, I'm honestly not excited for the Wii.
The stupid the mini games?
Yeah, I think they're gonna be fun, but like that's like all I'm looking forward to, really.
How can you not want to play Zelda?
Why I'm not gonna say Zelda is because I should have been playing it a year ago on the GameCube, and Nintendo decided to delay it an entire year to put it on a system that's marginally more powerful than the GameCube, so you can swing your arms around in the air and pretend to be Link.
You feel slighted a bit, don't you?
Oh, I am bitter about not having played Twilight Princess yet.
Are we going to organize a boycott against Zelda because Nintendo is too lazy to bring it out on GameCube?
It's just going to be that much better. And don't you want to play a right-handed Link?
No, I love left-handed Link. I'm left-handed. Link left-handed is the coolest thing.
Left-handed, that's why we couldn't hear him the first time we tried to put him on. The devil was turning him off.
Right-handed Link is dumb. Link's always been left-handed.
All right, well, you know, if you are looking for another game to pick up, you know, there's always... I'm looking at the list now. SpongeBob, no. Creature from the Krusty Krab. No, no. How about that?
No.
You know what I think is great? Is that there's a $30 game on launch. How often do you have a launch system? Like the 360 came out, every game was $60, bar none.
What's the game?
Every game was $60. Rampage Total Destruction. And they have a $40 game as well, Rapala Trophies. I don't know what that is. It's probably like a hunting game. But
yeah, I have no idea what that
actually,
is.
Actually, it's E for everyone. It can't be a hunting game. But Rampage Total Destruction.
Maybe it's a comical hunting game.
Not if you're shooting people, man. But Rampage Total Destruction coming out, like that's people like that game. It's
old. I've already played that game.
Yeah,
Rampage,
but still,
has been done so many times.
Having a $30 game is still
original titles.
Good, I think. And World Series of Poker is only $40.
What's the most expensive game?
They're $50. They don't compare.
I can play poker on Xbox Live Arcade for less than $40.
For $5. Yeah, and actually, I got something else to say about poker. We'll save that till next week, I think. All right, Rich, thanks for calling. Apparently, only the minigame. I didn't realize that Raven Rabbids was even a minigame. I told you I didn't know anything about it. I just heard that it was supposed to be good. So I might have to rescind my offer for saying that Raven Rabbids is on my list. I'm not so much into the minigames. But if it really is that good, then that would be encouraging to get four controllers. So anyway, maybe you'll actually come over and we'll play a game. Instead of me having to drag all my stuff over to your place once.
I'm looking forward to all the stupid mini games.
Yeah, it'll be good times. All right, thanks for calling in, Rich.
All right, bye.
All right, so we have, like, no time left. I wanted to talk about the emails that we got. We talked about customizable soundtracks last week. You and I were pretty much in agreement that customizable soundtracks often hurt the game experience rather than help it. And we got a couple responses that stand out in my head. First of all, we had one person that we need to clear up his perception of what we were saying, right? One person was saying that we didn't think about one particular use of customized soundtracks, and that is with wrestling games, and saying that, you know, when you have creative wrestler modes, or if things change over time and new music happens when they walk out on stage, right?
Yeah, it's basically their intro song.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That,
some games let you pick the intro song.
And this person emailing us was saying that that's a wonderful application and alone is a good enough argument for customized soundtracks, and he didn't understand your argument against it. And I like how I'm able to shift all the blame onto you, even though I was agreeing with you. It's great.
And nice. So, that's awesome.
But like, what he doesn't understand is that we weren't talking about that. We were talking about soundtracks, meaning what you do during the game. And yeah, intro song has nothing to do with gameplay.
Yeah, and like, I mean, unless you're like a wrestling purist, I mean, like, I don't even know why.
I mean,
I'm like, just like, who
you could argue that it's gameplay because the whole point of wrestling is like showmanship and
no, it's not gameplay.
Storyline.
No. You can't argue that it's gameplay. It's just not. It's just like a funny little feature.
If the game is all to watch something and that's fake and be excited by it, like maybe. But really, you're right. I mean, it's not gameplay. And this is what I'm trying to get across, that what we were saying is something that during gameplay, where you're supposed to be having an emotional experience, and even said in his email,
yep,
like maybe story-driven games where you're trying to create emotion. I'm like, yeah, that's what we were talking about. Not in this case. Clearly, being able to make your own intro music is a valid response. So you should be able to do that. And if you can't do it, well, bummer for the developer who made that option unavailable. And he pointed out THQ's SmackDown versus Raw or something, as they claim that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be in it or not, but I mean, like, come on. There's a million features you can put or not put in a game.
The reason it's not going to be in it, by the way, is very clear, because the 360 doesn't have it built right in to have customized soundtracks for games. It only has the side media player running as a separate application, whereas the original Xbox had stuff in the development kit to inject customized soundtracks into games as part of the actual game.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep thinking of, like, you know, this is being kind of like, you know, when I was in school and the professor who keeps giving you homework because he thinks that you're not taking any other classes but his class.
Yeah.
It's like there's, you know, every single feature they put in a game that takes time to implement, and there's priorities. You can't put everything in a game. You know, developers only have so much time to build their game, and they prioritize what's more important and what's less important.
I'm so glad you brought up school, because I did not mention again about UAT.edu,
which is a great school to go to.
I forgot to mention that people should go and check out their website.
And the professors will probably not do that to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe they will.
There's all kinds. I can't say that they wouldn't. But the professors there will care, and they will want you to do well. So, anyway, we could talk more about this customized soundtrack thing. One of the people was talking about how can we say that having options is bad, right? How can it be that if any time customized soundtracks, it just means more options for the user must be good, and Aura had this whole manifesto.
I'll be very, very happy to enlighten everybody about how having more options is a bad idea.
Yeah, we will cover that next week. Let Aura go off, because obviously no time left. And yeah, so go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, review more about the show, and send us your emails, and we'll talk about them next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass belong to us.